Father God, we ask you now to touch our hearts. We ask you to captivate us. We ask you to meet us where we are, no matter how distracted, how broken, how angry, how depressed. We pray that you would speak to us now. And we pray this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. So, what is it about good stories? Some people might be more into stories like Romeo and Juliet or Homer's Iliad, while other people might be more into comic books like Spider-Man or Batman, maybe Wild Westerns by Carl May. Someone like me is more into Lord of the Rings, as you can see. But today we're going to talk about story. We're going to have a topical sermon, so it's not going to be based on any one scripture text. And we're going to talk about God's story in history and how that connects with our story. Now, I think that every human being is naturally drawn to good stories. And I think the reason for that is because stories are the language of life. And when I say the word story, I really am defining it as broadly as possible, to include fiction, nonfiction, to include reality, history, to include drama, movies, books, novels. So story is something that I think binds us together. It's sort of the glue that can connect people at a really, really deep level. Say I met a stranger, and say that stranger really liked Lord of the Rings. There would be a natural connection between me and the stranger, regardless of where they came from, what their background was, just because having that in common, that we both like Lord of the Rings, binds us together. And I think on an even deeper level, we understand ourselves. Our self-understanding is understood through stories. And not just us here in the West. All cultures seem to be bound by stories. And I think that's because they help us make sense of the world. They help us understand the events that go on out there in the world, out there in history. Stories inspire us. They can give us a common vision. And they can do so especially when times get tough. They can give us hope. At least in English stories, sometimes, or at least a lot of times, the story might end with, "And they lived happily ever after." And that's the ending we want to have. We want there to be some sort of meaning, some sort of goal, some sort of purpose to which the story is moving to. We want it to have a happy ending. And what about history? What about real life stories? Well, I think the same is true in terms of our self-understanding as groups, as peoples, as nations. Stories give us a common understanding of ourselves as people. Now, for me, you can understand it in terms of I'm an American, so some of the stories that I grew up with are going to be different from yours. But one example is the American settlers first came to America because they were fleeing religious persecution. So the pilgrims came to America because they weren't allowed to worship God the way they wanted, and they had really hard times, and they had to work really hard. And that's a story that every kid in America is going to grow up hearing, and it's a story that shapes who we are as Americans, that we were founded by people who fled persecution and were willing to start in the wilderness, in a foreign land, so they could worship the God in the way they wanted to. Now, there's also biographies or personal histories, whether you're reading stories of Napoleon or Alexander the Great or J.R.R. Tolkien. All these are personal histories. They're the histories of people that, because of their story, somehow we can connect with on a really deep level. And then the Bible. What about the Bible? How much of the Bible do you think is a story? Maybe 20%? 50%? Well, the answer is 90%. 90% of the Bible is narrative. And that's including the poetic sections, because poetry is story told in colorful thematic language. So God's word is mediated to us through story, through the history of real people. Not through the majority isn't by laws, isn't by propositions, it isn't by facts, but it's by the history of real people and God interacting with those real people. So the way that God mainly reveals himself, how we know what God's character is like, is through events. Same way, how do we know what God's people are like? We know that through events. I was in Berlin last week, and we got to visit a home group Bible study there. And they were studying the patriarchs in the book of Genesis, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Rachel, Leah. And it's easy for someone who is new to the Bible to wonder, why do they spend so much time talking about these ancient dead people? Like, why does it even matter? But the truth is that if you see that these are stories of real people and that they form the foundation of the people of Israel, you can understand how important it is that the people of Israel, when they asked, who are we? When they asked, where did we come from? The Israelites could look back at their beginnings. They could look back at these simple people and their stories, both their failures and their successes, but essentially look back at how God met with Abraham and his descendants. And what about the New Testament? Why does the New Testament, in the book of Matthew, the New Testament starts with a big, long genealogy? And the question is, if you were writing the Bible, why in the world would you start the New Testament with a big, long, boring genealogy? But the answer to that is all in the story. Because genealogies connect people with their ancestors, and they connect people's stories. So by connecting Jesus through his genealogy to King David, and through that to Abraham, all of a sudden we have the story of Jesus' family of origin. We see that Jesus has a background. We see that the story of Jesus isn't a brand new story, but it's actually a continuation of a story that's been going on for thousands of years. Or what about Jesus? How did he teach people? His favorite method was parables. Jesus taught through little short stories which had a meaning. Or what about Paul? Paul, who wrote these letters to Christians around the Mediterranean. Well, the Apostle Paul, if you think of him writing letters in response to real situations, real Christians who were trying to figure out their place in God's story, they were trying to figure out how they can live as disciples of Jesus, how they can live in this body of Christ, how they can live in the story of God. Now, I mentioned the story of God. You could call it the Christian story. You could call it the gospel story. You could call it God's grand story of redemption throughout history. Now, there are millions of stories in all cultures, like I said, and each one of us have stories. But there's one story that is unique, one story that is from eternity past and will continue into eternity future, one story that binds all other stories together. And I'm going to show a graph really quick. Now, I make no claims to be a literary expert. Before I studied theology, I studied political science. But this is just the basics that most of us, if you've ever taken a literature class, will see, that all stories have a common movement. You know, they start in the beginning, and then there's some sort of crisis, and there's some sort of heroic climax, and then there's a resolution. And if you see the story of the Bible, the Christian story follows this same pattern. Creation, that things were good when it started, but things went terribly wrong. The fall, we rebelled. And then there's a struggle that continued throughout all history and continues today. And yet there was a heroic climax, and we know that through the events of Jesus Christ. And then the happy ending or resolution is the new heavens and the new earth when Christ returns as king. So we see that according to the Christian story, history is moving in a direction. History is moving towards a goal. It's moving in a purposeful direction, which is directed by God. And in this way, you really have to see history as the stage and see God as the main actor in the stage. Or how about this? What does Holy Communion tell us about God? Well, Holy Communion, or the Lord's Supper, I mean, really, what it is the Christian story told through symbols, told through bread and wine. So when we act out Holy Communion, what we're really doing is we're remembering this grand story. We're anticipating where the story is going to go. And actually, through taking part in communion, we're actually saying we participated in this. Somehow we are connected to this story of Jesus. And obviously, if it is a good story, if it's one of those great stories, then it should be something that captivates us. It should be something which fills us with joy, which gives us passion. Now, an easy explanation to, well, how does the story connect to me, or how do I get the story to fill me with joy? Well, the easy answer is by reading the Bible. But I think it should be deliberate when you read the Bible, whether you've been reading it your whole life or whether you've never picked up a Bible before. The idea is to read it with the understanding that God is telling a story. To read it and ask the question, what is God, the main actor, doing in this part of the story? And how does this part of the story that I'm reading connect to me? And in this way, when we read the Bible deliberately through the lens of story, we ask ourselves, how can this story become ours? How can we center our lives on the story? And how can we interpret all of reality through the Christian story? And I say interpret all of reality through it because you have to understand there are many stories out there about life. Now, sometimes it's called a worldview that people have. The dominant worldview, at least in the Western world, is the worldview that we are all just animals. Very intelligent animals, of course, but animals. That death is the end. That there is nothing after death. That, in a sense, not only our lives, but the universe as a whole is just a big accident. It just came about by chance. There's no real purpose. There's no real meaning. And there's obviously nothing like universal values. The only values you could claim are the ones that you make up in your own head. So the idea is to understand that everyone has a story. Now, whether you have this secular Western atheistic story, or whether you have the Christian story, or whether you have one of the millions of other stories, you have to understand that you do have a story. You do have a way that you interpret the world, that you see yourself, that you see the people around you, that you see your values through one story or another. So, for Christians, it's important to know our story. It's important to understand that we are actors in God's story, and to somehow connect our lives to God through Jesus Christ. And whether that means looking at events, good events and bad events, looking at maybe the sicknesses we've had, maybe the family backgrounds we come from, maybe certain relationships, maybe certain things that give us passion, certain things that have gifted us. But we take all those things, all those events, those things which make up our story, and we connect them to God, and we ask, how do these relate to God? How do they relate to the grand story of Jesus Christ? And we have to know that our story matters to God. Your story matters to God. And if that's hard to understand, you could also see it as in your story as a Christian is going to be connected to all other Christians. No matter what culture you come from, no matter what age you live in, no matter all the other differences you have, everyone who follows the Christian story is bound together in a brotherhood and a sisterhood. So that it's not just our individual story, it's our story as a church. It's our story as the people of God through history. And it's the story of the people of God through history that's been going on for thousands of years. We're bound up in all those other individual stories, and all those individual stories are bound up in the God through Jesus Christ. Now, there's also the concept of living our story, because obviously it's not just something that we tell. If we are small actors in God's grand story, well, then we have a part to play, no matter how small. And as Jesus says, those little things matter. And to be given opportunity for the big things, we have to be faithful in the little things. So that whatever part we've been given really does matter, and we can live it out. Now, we won't go there now, but the Apostle Paul, in his second letter to the Corinthians, talks about an interesting illustration. He talks about our lives as letters. Now, I'm going to put it... Now, I'm not a good artist. That's not my background either, but... I didn't do this in the morning service, but can everybody see that? Paul uses this language in the book of 2 Corinthians. And I know it looks silly, but I mean, it's in the Bible, so get over it. The idea that Paul uses is that Paul's talking about like letters of recommendation. And Paul says, you know, nobody has to write a letter of recommendation for me, because you guys are the letters of recommendation. You guys are the letters that God has written for the world to see. Now, maybe you've never considered that, the fact that your lives are letters which are constantly being read by the people around you. How you act, how you live, what you say, how you love, how you hate, whether you're humble or prideful, your lives are letters. And they're letters which ideally should be letters written by God in which people can see Jesus Christ through you. Actually, in the same book of 2 Corinthians, Paul talks about the idea of a mirror. And by focusing on Jesus, by concentrating on the glory of Jesus Christ, somehow our lives become a reflection of that or a mirror of that. So it's very similar to the concept of letter. It's something that, again, other people will be able to see a reflection of Jesus Christ through us. They'll be able to see the Christian story through our story. And as a side note, if you're wondering, well, how can I, you know, I want to serve my neighbor, or I have a friend or a family member, and I want to love them better, or I want to serve them. And well, how do I do that? Well, think of it through story. The best way that you can know how to love and serve someone is by knowing their story, knowing their background, knowing what has hurt them, knowing what matters to them. That is how we can best love our neighbor. Now, question. What were essentially the two most common themes of the Apostle Paul's sermons? And if you think of the book of Acts, the two most common themes were, one, Paul gave sermons on his own conversion story. The book of Acts records a number of times where Paul goes in front of people and simply tells a story, and he says, this is how I met God. This is how Jesus Christ met with me. This is how Jesus Christ changed my life. And the second most common sermon in the book of Acts that not just Paul, but also Peter talks about is the story of the people of Israel. Simply recounting the history of Israel and connecting it to Jesus Christ. Paul was so captivated by the story of God, he was so captivated by Jesus Christ that he couldn't help telling everyone he knew about it. Recently, I've been reading a really good book called, it's called The Ragamuffin Gospel. And ragamuffin is an English word which sort of means like scruffy or a beggar or, you know, someone who's, you know, sort of like, you know how a kid who's been out playing in the park and he comes in all muddy and his shirt's ripped and he just, you know, maybe stinks or something. Well, that's a ragamuffin. You know, you'd call a little kid jokingly, you're a ragamuffin. And it's by this author. He's a American, and he's a former Roman Catholic priest who got defrocked. He got fired as a priest for being like a hardcore alcoholic. Like he would just like disappear, and then they would find him like weeks later on Skid Row, like half dead. And now this guy writes about the grace of God. He writes about the love of God, and they're really awesome. It's a really awesome read, and I really recommend it. Now, I just told you that, not because I wanted to tell you about that book, but just to give you an example of how when we find something that we love, when we find something that we like, we become natural evangelists. I basically evangelized you about this story, the Ragamuffin Gospel, and you didn't even know it. You thought I was just telling you through something in the sermon. But the fact is that we share things that we're captivated by. We share things which give us joy, which help us to understand the world. So that the best evangelism is the things about God that captivate us. The best evangelism is the story of how Jesus met us. And the same is true for, like, everybody likes a story about, like, you know, how you met your girlfriend or boyfriend, or how you met your husband or wife. That's a great story, and everybody likes hearing that. And the reason why is because everybody likes stories of relationships. And the same is true with how we met God. So in conclusion, what can we take away? What can we say? You know, why did I come this evening? What was Matt talking about? Why is it relevant? And first, let me plug, there's a course that's being run periodically at LEC called Lost for Words. And I believe there should be a course running after the Christmas holidays, so maybe in January. That course is for Christians who are sort of scared about the idea of evangelism. And it's all about helping us to understand our story and helping to be able to share that story naturally in a non-confrontational way, just talking about how Jesus met us, how Jesus changed us. Secondly, there's a lot of young people here. There's the idea of getting an older Christian mentor, surrounding yourself with people who have been on the Christian journey longer than you, who know more than you, who are captivated by the story themselves, and actually asking them to share their story, asking them to help you through your story. Asking them, how do I interpret my story? How do I interpret these past events? How do I deal with what's going on in my life right now? And finally, for some people, this whole idea of a Christian story is new. And the start would, I guess, be to investigate the gospel story. To investigate the story which starts with a good creation, but that a creation that went wrong. A creation in which each and every one of us, if we're really honest, both with our own lives, with the relationships we have in our families, with the different world events that go on, all the wars and stuff, we understand that something has terribly gone wrong with humanity. But the gospel story says that God has sent a hero. And that hero is Jesus Christ. And through that hero, the Christian story can say that death is not the end. It can say that we are not an accident in the universe. It can say that there is meaning, not just for the grand scale of history, but there is meaning for each and every one of us. So I would just ask that you should investigate it further. Read the New Testament for yourself. Explore Jesus. Now, before I pray and we do the reading, we're going to look at a song. And the song is, don't put it up yet, but the song is essentially, and many songs are like this, but again, we don't look at songs like we think, oh, it's a song, and a song is a song, right? Well, think of a lot of songs as stories, and how, really, when we're singing a song, we're telling the story to each other, and we're telling the story to ourselves, and we're letting the story of Jesus Christ and the story of God throughout history impact our hearts through song. So let me say a quick prayer before we sing. Father God, we thank you that you have revealed to us such an amazing story. We thank you that you work through real people and real events and real history And we thank you that you have revealed yourself, and that we can know you, and that we can enter into your story. Lord God, we just ask you for revelation. We pray that you would illuminate us. We pray that you would give us understanding, and that you would change and transform us by your story. And we pray this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.